Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. Hello, hello, and good morning. Good morning it is. It's a good rainy morning where I am, but still, this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. So today we're going to talk on walk in newness of life. And for those of you all who know, I'm going to be taking some passages and quotes out of my book that I've written. And my book is called Walk in Newness of Life. He died so that we may have life. So for you all who haven't had the chance to read this book, you can purchase one of these books on Amazon. It's called Walk in Newness of Life. He died so we may have life. And it has been a blessing to me, you know, as well as to many of the people that I've spoken with that have read it. It's been a blessing to the body of Christ. So we're going to first start with my first chapter is talking on the cross of Christ. And I titled this Walk in Newness of Life because once you have become alive in Christ, once you have accepted Christ as your personal Savior, old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. We are not to walk around in this world looking like we got baptized in lemon juice or pickle juice. Ugh, sour, I know. But we as Christians, we as saints of God, we're not to conform to this world, to the things of this world. I know that we're going to suffer persecution. We're going to go through trials. We're going to go through tribulations. But the Word of God tells us to glory in our tribulations. Sounds crazy, huh? But, you know, a lot of things that said in the Word of God may not make sense to our natural flesh, but it's for our making and it's for our good. And the Word of God says that if we don't suffer with Christ, we won't reign with Christ. The truth of the matter is none of us wants to suffer. But the Bible tells us that long suffering is one of the fruit of the Spirit. So we don't want to suffer short. We really don't want to suffer long. But I'm here to tell you that once you allow the Holy Spirit to cultivate the fruit of the Spirit and you love, joy, peace, patience, long-suffering, look it up, you already know. But once you allow the Holy Spirit to come in and to cultivate the fruit of the Spirit in you, then you will find out that it is for your good. May not feel good, but it's for your good. So we're going to go on. The cross of Christ. We know that also that Jesus Christ became a one all-sufficient sacrifice for us. For by one offering he perfected forever them that are sanctified. Hebrews 10 and 14. I may go a little fast, so you can write these scriptures down and go back along and study them when you get a chance. But Hebrews 10 and 14, sanctify is being consecrated. When you're sanctified, you're being dedicated or separated for a sacred purpose. We are being separated unto Christ, hallelujah. We know that we are in this world, but we're not of this world. Jesus Christ, the death of Jesus Christ on the cross was a sacrifice ordained by God. And on this cross, I'm just going to name a few things that he went to this cross for us, for deliverance, for salvation, for provision, for healing, for grace and mercy. These are just a few things that I'm just naming that he went to and knelt on the cross. And as we go throughout our life, once we have accepted Christ as our personal Savior, the devil will try to bring guilt and shame, and Satan will try to bring up your past events, the things you used to do, how you used to do them, and he wants you to feel embarrassed. But the Word of God says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, that if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things have become new. Your way of thinking should become new. The way you should no longer even think the way you used to think. You should get in your Word and pray. Seek the face of God, and let this mind be in you that was also in Christ. Philippians 3:13 and 14 says, brother, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reach forth unto those things which are before. That is so hard now for believers to do. It's forgetting those things that are behind. The devil try to hold things over your head, and we can't walk in newness of life, and we can't walk in what Christ has called us to walk in when we allow the enemy to keep holding our past over our head. Our past, a lot of times, rob us of the blessings and the peace and the joy and the contentment that Christ have died for our sins and want to bring us into this newness of life. But we get robbed so many times of this newness of life because we allow the enemy to keep bringing up our past. Or we start reminiscing about our past. Okay, we have been forgiven for that. Let's move on. Let's drop it and let's go forward because we can't drag this old baggage, this old mindset, this old way of thinking. What happened to me back then, that happened then. It was bad. It was hurtful. Christ went to the cross for your deliverance, for your healing. Repent. Let him heal you. Let him deliver you. And then guess what, sisters and brothers? Move on. It said, I press. It's a pressing walk. We have to press, press, press. It is a pressing walk. We have to allow the Holy Spirit to come in and to heal us and to deliver us. So it is a pressing walk. Hallelujah. Okay, and I also talked about the resurrection power in my book. What is the resurrection power? We know that Christ went to the grave, true enough, and he died for our sins. But guess what? He didn't stay there. He rose. He resurrected with all power and healing and deliverance in his hands, all power. And that same resurrection power he has given us, the believer, the born-again believer. He said, I give you power to walk over serpents and scorpions. I give you power, resurrected power, to lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. I give you power, hallelujah. Death and life lies in the power of the tongue. So he didn't stay down, hallelujah. So that same resurrected power that he had, he has given that to us, the believer. Resurrection is the act of causing something that had ended, been forgotten or lost, to exist again. See, you may have just existed on this earth when you were not born again. You may have just walked through this world, busted, disgusted. But now that you have received Christ in your heart, now that you have been born again, now that you walk in this resurrection power, you may have been dead. You may just existed. But now you can resurrect, hallelujah, in Christ, and you can walk in the power. You can walk in newness of life, hallelujah. Your way of thinking, your way of talking, your way of everything about you just changed. You can walk in there. You can walk in that same resurrection power. And I also put this towards the end of this chapter. I said, get up and live. Get up and live. Don't just talk the talk. Don't just say, well, I believe God can do it. Then why are you sitting down here busted, disgusted, not moving nowhere in Christ, but you're posting on Facebook, you saying God can do this, you saying God can do that? What good is that to say what God can do if you've never experienced him to do it? You have to experience. This is something that you have to experience, hallelujah. So what good is that if you can't walk and you can't experience what Christ did? Like, it's just like I relate it back to it may be a person that ministers about healing. They say, well, God is a healer. God is a deliverer. Well, how would you know that if you never allow him to heal you? How would you know that if you never allow him to deliver you? You have to talk the talk that you know what you're talking about. I like that. Talk the talk that you know what you're talking about. Nobody else can't tell you anything different because you know this because you've experienced this. And I also relate this back to like a woman women who have never given birth. They may try to understand what a woman goes through when she goes through the labor, the contraction, and the birth, but there's no way that she can totally know the experience because she's never experienced that before. And that's how it is in the body of Christ. You can try to explain to people, Christ is a healer, Christ is this, Christ is that. But until you've really experienced that, and then they've never experienced that, they can only hear what you're saying, but I don't really can relate to you on that because I've never allowed him to do that in my life, or I've never had him do that in my life. So I hear about his healing. I hear about his deliverance. I hear you say this, but I don't know this because I've never experienced, bless God. Christianity is more than just a talk. Salvation is more than just a talk. Salvation is more than just posting scriptures on Facebook. Salvation, hallelujah, It's getting up and walking. It's a new life, hallelujah. Life in Christ is healing, is deliverance, hallelujah. And I put in here, get up and live. The Holy Spirit brings conviction. You're not going to stay the same once you encounter the birth of the Holy Spirit and being born again. You're not going to stay the same. You're going to have to get up. It's just going to be a feeling inside of you that you're just going to want to just tell the world, hallelujah, what Christ has done for you, what the blood of Jesus has done for you. And I'm going to hit on another high point. I don't have many minutes, but I'm going to hit some high points while I have a chance. We're going to talk about repentance because in John 3:3, Jesus, Nicodemus, we know the story that Nicodemus came to Jesus Christ and he asked him, well, how can a man be born again? And Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, 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 I say unto thee, except, meaning there is no other way. There's no other way. Look up the word except in your dictionary. There's no other way. This is Christ talking. Except a man be born again, he cannot see. See means to perceive or to understand the kingdom of God. That's why when you try to tell a carnal mind person, a person that, like I said earlier, has never experienced the power of God, they may go to church, they may hear about Christ, they may even quote the scriptures, they may post them on Facebook, but if they have never experienced this love, if they've never experienced this joy, if they've never experienced this deliverance and this healing and all the other things that come, benefits that come along with being born again, it said here in the scriptures that he cannot see the kingdom of God. It sounds foolishness to them. So they cannot perceive the things of God. So we go on down and we talk about accept is the introduction of a statement that explains the reason why something is not possible or will not happen. It just won't happen. You can try to talk to people till you're blue in the face, but they will not see. They cannot see. They cannot perceive or understand because they have not been born again. It says here, to see something is to understand or experience a thing. We perceive the true nature of a thing when we can understand, when we can see it. You know, like when you were in your math class, I take geometry for instance. I failed it twice in school. Hard. Math was my worst subject. I mean, it was just something that I barely got the algebra, but when I had to take geometry, I really could not get the geometry, no matter how hard I tried, got tutoring and everything. But then I remember one day after I got out of school and I was sitting down and I was looking at somebody do a geometry problem. I was looking at it on YouTube. And now I'm having to help my daughter with the work. Now I'm sitting down and I'm thinking to myself, wow, now I see this. Now I see it. Literally, I was saying now I understand it because I've always had natural eyes. I've never been born blind, so I could see naturally. We can all see naturally if we have sight, if we have vision. But what I was saying is, and what you say is, when someone is doing something and you just don't quite get it, like I just don't get it. I don't see it. What you're basically saying is I don't understand it. You have natural sight, but your spiritual senses, you don't understand. There's a lack of understanding there. So that's how I was when it came to geometry. But once I really sat down and watched it and saw it step by step by step, and I first thing I said was, wow, I see it now, I get it, meaning I understand it now. And that's how it is with the things of God. It said, the word of God says that you cannot see, you cannot understand or perceive the things of God. They sound foolish to you. They sound crazy to you. So, goes on to say, and also I wrote this in my book, born again comes from above. It comes from Christ. A carnal mind cannot understand the things of God. That's in 1 Corinthians 2:14. The only way you can understand spiritual things is if you become saved first, then begin to read and study the word of God along with prayer and fasting. And the word of God, which is the Holy Bible, says that the Holy Ghost will lead and guide you into all truth. The Holy Spirit will lead and guide you into all truth. And then you may say, well, okay, well, I received Christ into my heart, and I believe this and this, that, and the other. And then this, once you accept that Christ died for you on the cross, then this leads to repentance, a repentant heart, when you come to the Lord for salvation. What is repentance? Repentance is to feel godly sorry for an act or error of sin. You regret over an action or intention as to change your mind and ways. You can have godly sorrow But to truly repent, you have to change your whole being. Your ways have to change as well as your mindset. Your let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. So that's another high point I want to hit. Then I'm going to go on because we're winding down of time. But I want you to understand that once you have received Christ in your life, don't allow the enemy to come in and try to bog you down with your past and with what they think will limit you. We allow people a lot of times to rob us of the blessings that God has for us. We allow people to come in a lot of times and to tell us what we can and can't do. Well, the Word of God says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So a man or a woman don't determine your destiny. You should allow the Holy Spirit. You should allow God. By the way, he was the one who chose you before the foundation of the world, before you was formed in your mother's womb. We should trust him because he has our destiny in our hand. Hallelujah. So it's not about what people say or what people think, but it's about what the Word of God says. It's about what God has purposed and destined in my life, what God has purposed and destined in my spirit. So we care about what he thinks, not about what people think. We're going to talk about some strongholds next. Strongholds. And I'm just going to hit a few strongholds. There are a lot of them, but I'm just going to hit a few of them because of time. Stronghold, the first scripture we're going to talk about is 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. And it says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. John 10:10 says, the thief cometh not before to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. The enemy, and a lot of times I got to go here with this, abundantly, people, when you mention abundantly, I've known how people minds just wonder, well, is she talking about materialistic things? No, I'm not talking about materialistic things. God will bless you with those things. Yes, he will. But I'm talking about abundantly, life more abundant. I'm talking about peace, a peace that surpasses all understanding. When you're going through trials and tribulations, when it seems like just all hell is broke out in your life, and it just seems like I can't make it. I don't know what to do. I don't know who to talk to. I don't know where to go. Lord, I need your help. Hallelujah. Then we have to stand on the Word of God. So he said, he promised us that I will give you a peace that surpasses all understanding. And let me tell you from personal testimony after testimony, I know him as a peace giver. I know him as a peace bringer. Hallelujah. I know he will give you a peace that surpasses all understanding. He will give you a peace that won't make you high, won't make you have bad side effects after all this other drugs you can take to help calm your nerves and all this. I know for a fact, like we talked about earlier, from experience, that Christ will give you a peace. So he wants you to walk in the abundance of peace, abundance of joy. When it looked like you shouldn't be making it, you walking through with joy unspeakable, and you got a smile on your face. You still praying for others. You still meditating and reading the Word of God. You haven't given up on what God has called you to do. You have this joy, this peace that's just, you can't describe it, but where it looked like you should just fall apart and break down, you still have this joy. You still have this peace. You still press towards the mark or the prize of the high calling. Hallelujah. Only that can come through by the Holy Spirit and trusting in him. So we're going to talk about these strongholds. John 10:10 says, the thief cometh not before to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. The enemy uses a lot of strongholds to keep us from walking in the victory of Christ. You may not know what strongholds is. Well, I'm glad you asked. Let me define it. Well, the dictionary defines that a stronghold is having a strong defense. I put it in my own words by experience. I define it as something that has a strong grip on your mind or in your life. Strong is something that is powerful and forceful. It seemed like I just don't know what's going on, but it's like a force just keeping me bound, keeping me down. Seems like I can't move forward. Seems like I take two steps forward and I'm not five steps back. So I'm just going to talk about a few things that's got a stronghold on us as saints of God that we need to bind up today and loose off of our minds, and it's anger. One of them is anger. One of them is depression. Another one is fear. We fear. God did not give us the spirit of fear, but of love, joy, peace, and of a sound mind. But a lot of times when the Holy Spirit leads you to step out of that boat and do what he called you to do and just trust him, You walk in fear because you fear, what if this don't work? Or what if this ain't God? My sheep know my voice. Any other voice, they will not follow. You need to pray and learn the voice of God. Hallelujah. Step out of that boat. God is leading you to do something. He's telling you to do something. He's telling you to get up and step out. Step out. Don't let the spirit of fear hold you back from doing what God has called you to do. And that will hold you back. That's a stronghold on a lot of people's minds and spirits to keep them from walking in what God has called them to walk in. And feelings of inferiority and feelings of low status because of a certain job or feeling of not being good enough. I'm not good enough. I don't know if God called me for this. I can't do this. If God chose you, if he put this in you, shouldn't you trust him to know what you can do? You can't do it within your own self, but you can do it within Christ. If he called you and chose you, he will equip you with what you need. Feelings of rejection. Feelings of being unwanted and unloved. Hatred. Worry. There are just so many emotional strongholds. And these are some of the ones that I have encountered while ministering to other women. I've learned that these are some of the things that have kept them from walking in what God wants them to walk in. We're winding down of time right now. I will continue to talk on this book some more in at another time. So I hope that something that I said bless you all. I want to see you all get up and walk in the newness of life. Hallelujah. I want you to walk out here. I want you to walk in Christ and receive what he has for you. And I want to share this right quick before I get out. We went to a business meeting. I went to one with my husband last week. And something the guy said really, really blessed me and it stuck with me. He said, are you going to sit around and build another man or another woman's dream? Or are you going to get up and build the dream that Christ and that God has given and put inside of you? That stuck with me because that's what a lot of people do. We sit around and talk about, oh, sister so-and-so, so annoying, and sister so-and-so do this, or the pastor do this, and the pastor do that. What about you? What are you doing? You have gift callings and talents inside of you. You have been chosen. You have been anointed. Do what Christ has called you. Build what he has called you to build through him. Hallelujah. Don't just sit back and be envious and jealous and watch others pass you by, but you get up and do what Christ has called you to do. I pray something that I said bless you. I bind every spirit, unlike the spirit of God right now, of the listeners of this. I bind those spirits and those strongholds that I called out. I bind up the spirit of anger, the spirit of depression. I bind up the spirit of fear. I bind up the spirit of inferiority. Inferiority, making you feel like you're not good enough, making you feel like you just can't do it. Hallelujah. I bind up the spirit of rejection. I bind up the spirit of feeling unloved and unwanted, because if don't nobody else love you, just know Christ does. Hallelujah. I bind up the hatred spirit, the anger and envious spirit. Hallelujah. I bind up the spirit of worry. I bind these spirits in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. I apply the blood of Jesus over each and every listener's ears, that they would go forth, Father God, that they would be the men and women of God that you have caused them to be in these last and evil days, and that they will begin to, Lord God, build themselves up in you, and that they will begin to build their vision and their goal that you have placed inside of them instead of watching everybody else pass them by. I thank you, Father, for everything you have done and everything you are doing, and I love all of you all. I pray something I said bless you, and remember, walk in newness of life. He died so we may have life. You can pick up this book on Amazon. You can pick it up under LaShonda Williams, LaShandA Williams. And I hope and pray if you pick this book up, read it, let it get into your heart, let it get into your spirit, and walk in the newness of life, that you can be a blessing to others in this time that we live in. We need more believers to stand up and walk in power, be able to help somebody. There's no need for somebody to come to you and you say you're a Christian and you can't help them. I ain't just talking about financially, but I'm talking about spiritually. The Bible says that Christ said, I have given you power. He gave his disciples power. Hallelujah. So if you have been born again, if you have the Holy Spirit living on the inside of you, you have that power, the power to change, the power to speak into other people's lives, the power to see people delivered, healed, and the captive made free. I really pray something that I said bless you all. And like I said before, I want you all, if you get a chance, go out to Amazon, get Walk in Newness of Life. He died so we may have life, because it's time for us to get up and live. It's time to live in Christ. This world is not our home. We're just passing through. But while we are passing through, we are going to be ambassadors full of power, full of anointing. Hallelujah. And for those that want to get engrafted in, come on in, because the ark is selling and the doors are closing. So the time is short. So the little short time that we have, men and women of God, let's do what we have been called and chosen and destined to do for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's not to look to the left, to look to the right, to worry about what somebody else is doing and not doing. Let's just make sure that as individuals that we are doing what Christ has called and destined for us to do, because it's not our responsibility to worry about anybody else. It's our responsibility to seek our own soul salvation, and it's our responsibility as an individual to make sure that we are an example and that we are a light that sitteth in this dark world that cannot be hid, so that when somebody else is in the dark, that your light is shining and they have somebody that they can come to, that they can talk to, that can help them, not just tell them a scripture, because we are living in reality now. Christ has vessels that he used down here on this earth. So I hope and pray that you would allow him to shape you, make you, and mold you into a vessel of honor that you can help somebody else to get to where Christ is taking them. Love you all, and you all be blessed, and have a blessed, prosperous day.